D. James Kennedy Ministries presents Truths That Transform.
The fool has said in his heart, there is no God.
The God of socialism always fails, as every idol fails. But it tells us a great deal that there are so many Americans, especially younger Americans, ready to bow down to that idol at this current political moment.
Nazism was socialistic, fascism was socialistic, communism was socialistic, and those three alone were the death toll just went into tens of millions.
This is Truths That Transform.
Welcome back to Truths That Transform, a viewer-supported program of D. James Kennedy Ministries. I am Frank Wright. I hope you will take advantage of a great new ministry resource now available. It is the D. James Kennedy Ministries mobile application for smartphones and tablets. This powerful app allows you to access a wealth of free sermons, program broadcasts, Bible translations, and many other resources. Just visit the App Store for your mobile device and search for D. James Kennedy Ministries. Stunningly, we now live in an America that is more open to socialism than it's ever been. In our day, many have become quite comfortable with the idea of government as their provider, with nearly 50% of Americans receiving some transfer payment from the government. And now, one of our major political parties has an avowed and self-described socialist mounting a serious campaign for President of the United States. This is something unthinkable even just a decade ago. But an entire generation has come along for whom socialism seems not only acceptable, but quite normal. And as always, the real root of the problem is theological. I recently had a chance to sit down and discuss socialism with Dr. Albert Moeller, president of Southern Baptist Theological Seminary in Louisville. If you brought out the S word, right, and labeled someone as a socialist, right, even 20 years ago, it was the end of their political career. Not so today.
Socialism, I would say, is defined in terms of two things. First of all, state ownership and state control. We don't have a socialism in terms of state ownership at this point. I mean, obviously, we've got a socialist candidate for president now, so that could change. But the control part is very much there. This federal government, and you just take this president, sees no part of American society, including the American economy and private property and all the rest, that should not be subservient to or under direct government control.
The Tenth Amendment notwithstanding.
Yeah, well, you know, frankly, the Constitution notwithstanding as a whole, yes.
Sadly. For Bernie Sanders to pull the kind of numbers he's pulled in the election polling so far and being an avowed socialist is a bit shocking for America's political culture.
Well, it should be stunning. It should be shocking. It should be a wake-up call. And it's a wake-up call to at least a couple things that come to my mind. First of all, I was born in 1959, the height of the Cold War. And I grew up in South Florida, where the Cold War was very much a fact of life. I had folks who had fled from Cuba who were, you know, my classmates. And there was constant air cover over South Florida, you know, simply because of the Strategic Air Command and the reality of the threat of nuclear war. Right. And the great conflict was between the United States and the Soviet Union, and people forget it was called the Union of Soviet Socialist Republics. Socialism was identified, rightly, with the totalitarian regimes, especially of the Eastern Bloc and of the Soviet Union. But what we see is that with the Bernie Sanders phenomenon, younger Americans, when they think of socialism, they think of Sweden. Most of them, of course, never been there, and they have no idea how it really works, right, and there are huge contradictions. And Sweden itself will be a failed welfare state. They already are spending more than they got.
Take away the North Sea oil.
Well, that's it. And so you got these people that say they're green, and yet Sweden can only afford the socialism it's got because it's selling oil to the rest of the world, fossil fuels, you know. But you'll notice that younger Americans, and this has been true in virtually every American generation, they don't have to take responsibility for the world, and they don't yet have, by and large, families. They're not concerned with a long moral horizon. They are looking for cool, and Bernie Sanders, oddly enough, is cool. But it does tell us a great deal that the word socialism doesn't rightly scare people the way it should. The god of socialism always fails, as every idol fails. But it tells us a great deal that there are so many Americans, especially younger Americans, ready to bow down to that idol at this current political moment.
One of the key problems with socialism is that it is premised on atheism, which results in a false view of reality. Socialism requires a belief in the basic goodness of mankind, which cuts against all the evidence of human history, which is, of course, why it fails everywhere it's tried. A biblical view of the world could save a great deal of heartache and even disaster for millions. But sadly, as Dr. Kennedy shares with us, the foolishness of atheism persists.
Atheism, the religion of fools. Now that indeed is a provocative title. I hope it might have even provoked some atheists who read it in the paper to come to find out what might be said. It is certainly in many circles in this country a controversial one. But the question is it true? Well, let's investigate that question. First of all, I believe it's true because God has declared it. The fool has said in his heart, there is no God. Now, for Christians and those who believe the scriptures to be the word of God, that should be completely sufficient. If God has declared it, there is an end to it. And God, who knows the human heart and mind, having created both, declares that those who say there is no God are fools. Well, since there are some who would not accept that as the final word, we might move on, secondly, to consider the fact that not only has God declared it, but reason confirms it. Atheism is foolishness. It is, in fact, irrational. And the person who maintains it is irrational. Now, that would be indeed a blow to the atheists who indeed pride themselves on their rationality and their philosophical objectivity. But I believe it is beyond controversy. Why is that? Why is atheism irrational? Well, obviously, atheism is a negative coming from the word theism, or from theos, God, with the negative prefix a, the Greek equivalent to our un, as in uncola. No God is what atheism means, and therefore it is saying there is nothing in all of the universe which is a God. Now, that is what is known in logic as a universal negative. Nowhere in the universe does such a thing as this exist, whether it be God or anything else, such as LGMs. You all know what LGMs are. Little green men. Those who study such things have their own little shortcuts in speech, which makes them feel, I guess, very special. You see, for me to say dogmatically there is no such thing as little green men anywhere in the universe, I would have to have a universal knowledge. To say that there is no God anywhere in the universe or beyond, I would have to be virtually omniscient. And if I were omniscient, then for me to say there is no God, I'd be contradicting myself because I are one. Since omniscient is one of the attributes of a deity. Therefore, since no one can maintain a universal negative rationally, since it violates the laws of logic, It is irrational, and all those who maintain it are irrational. And if you are maintaining irrational things, my friend, you're a fool. Just as God's word says. So not only has God declared it to be folly, and reason confirms it, but thirdly, experience demonstrates it all too clearly. Now the 19th century gave birth to the 20th century, which has come to be known as the century of atheism. Never before in history has there been anything like the number of atheists that have come to be in the 20th century. And they are the products of the great gods of atheism that arose in the 19th century. And we're all familiar with the names, Marx and Freud and Nietzsche and Darwin. And Nietzsche, of course, was the man who penned in Thus Spake Zarathustra that God is dead. We, he said, have killed him. But he said, the time is not yet. This great event will manifest itself in the next century. Nietzsche died in 1900. And he and his co-laborers of atheism indeed brought into existence the age of atheism. And what has it produced? In the age of atheism, under the atheistic philosophies of Nazism and communism, experts tell us that 170 millions of people were butchered. As one has said, that just as the ideas of the wretched Rousseau, that unbeliever, were applied in a modern 20th century setting by Pol Pot in the genocide of Cambodia, which killed half the people of that land, so also the Darwin and Nietzsche were beacons to Hitler. It was Hitler that looked to Nietzsche and to Darwin for his views. It was a very small step from Nietzsche's Superman to Hitler's super race. And the views of that atheist led to the deaths of more than 40 millions of people. Ideas have consequences, my friend. And Marx was midwife to Stalin and Mao Zedong, who between the two of them killed over 100 million people. Yes, indeed, the folly of an idea that can destroy so many.
Socialism is an economic scheme premised upon the folly of atheism. Because socialism rejects God, it believes man is the measure of all things, willfully ignoring the fallen nature of mankind. As a result, wherever socialism has been tried throughout history and around the world, it has been a dismal failure. But incredibly, there are those in Washington who still sing the siren song of socialism. They have failed to learn the lessons of history, and it is we, it seems, who are condemned to repeat them. As you're about to see, the grim shadow of Karl Marx always leaves disaster in its wake.
Karl Marx was an immensely influential thinker. The main idea of socialism is that you do away with private property.
Private property was the essence of evil.
If you think you've misunderstood me, that I want your private property, you haven't misunderstood. That's exactly what I want. I want the abolition of private property. Karl Marx. David Horowitz, writer and policy advocate, grew up in an American communist household.
What Marxism was and is, and what communism is a crypto-religion. Redemption doesn't come about through a divine savior. It comes about through human agents, through the state.
At the root of that, this idea that you can make a perfect society here in this world, that you can make a heaven on earth. And that's just a false idea.
Joshua Moravchik, author of Heaven on Earth, The Rise and Fall of Socialism.
The flaw in the idea at the beginning is suppose that human nature is only material, and to completely downplay both the spiritual and the intellectual side of human beings.
The scripture is very clear on the nature of man.
David Noble, the founder and director of Summit Ministries, has written extensively on competing worldviews.
The whole Marxist-Leninist worldview and the Christian worldview are at odds on nearly every point, because one is theistic and one is atheistic.
Marx grew up in a household in which religion really was kind of hypocritical, because they were practicing religion that they were forced to practice, not that they embraced in their heart.
Karl Marx was, in fact, a hardcore atheist through his university education and coming into contact with the left wing of that time, which was basically anti-God, anti-Christ, anti-religion.
Engels, his partner, came from a very different background. He grew up in a very religious town, and since their deepest commitment was their religious faith, he made that the number one issue of his rebellion. They came to socialism not primarily through their analysis of politics and economics, but as very young men in their angry analysis of religion.
We want to sweep away everything that claims to be supernatural and superhuman. For that reason, we have once and for all declared war on religion and religious ideas. Frederick Engels.
Marx argued that all religion was superstition, that it was just hocus pocus, mumbo jumbo.
If you don't believe in a God who redeems in an afterlife, then you will believe in gods in this life. And that is the most dangerous belief of all.
The Communist Manifesto was written by Marx and Engels in 1848 as the platform for the Communist Revolution. So there should be no misrepresentation of what Marx's socialism is, because he has identified it for us in writing.
Communist Manifesto is an evil document. It opens with the sentence, "The history of all hitherto existing societies is the history of class struggle." It's an incitement to war, civil war.
The manifesto laid out a blueprint or plan of action that would usher in their classless society. The plan included such things as abolition of private property, a heavy progressive or graduated income tax, centralization of credit by means of a national bank, state-controlled media, factories owned by the state.
In the Communist Manifesto, Karl Marx decided how to destroy two things: destroy God and destroy capitalism.
Chuck Colson, cultural commentator and author.
When you depart from the Bible and you think that your guidelines are to fulfill God's will, and you come up with your own humanistic understanding, whether you call it Marxism or Freudianism or any of the isms, which all lie on the airship of history at the moment, what you're doing is leading people into tyranny.
In 1917, Vladimir Lenin rose to power and led the Russian Revolution. Lenin affirmed the philosophical basis of Marxism is a materialism which is absolutely atheistic and positively hostile to all religion.
When Marx was put into practice in the Bolshevik Revolution of 1917, the first ones to feel it were the Christians and the Christian churches.
And they destroyed 100,000 Russian churches.
They were burned, they were turned into museums of atheism.
This was only the beginning of the atrocities of their revolutionary government.
People are always worried about Christianity being a pernicious influence in society. Look at what atheistic, humanistic systems have done over the last two centuries.
This is all based on a socialist experiment, which people need to understand. In fact, the death toll of the whole 20th century is basically a socialistic experiment. Nazism was socialistic, fascism was socialistic, communism was socialistic, and those three alone with the death toll just went into tens of millions. Basically, where we are today in our country is that we have decided for some reason that in spite of all of the socialistic failures of the 20th century, we're still toying with a socialistic idea that we're somehow gonna find political utopia and paradise via socialism.
Every time the state increases its power, we lose our freedom.
We are watching the encroaching forces of secularism. We are watching you systematically strip away our liberties one by one. We are watching you try to prevent the religious influence in public life.
It should be of great concern to everyone who is interested in where we're going as a country.
Our way of changing the system is you vote. Their way of changing the system is violence and any means necessary. I think that we're in a period where we have a great chance to take back a lot of territory, but I think that it's going to be a very big battle.
As you've just seen, socialism and its harder-edged sibling, communism, have been responsible for some of the great human atrocities of the last century. Because it denies both God and the sinful human nature of mankind, it's completely out of step with reality, and it always leads to disaster. Yet acceptance of socialism is on the rise in America. It's vital that we get the truth about socialism out as far and wide as we can. And we have two resources to help you do that. And my very dear friend, Jennifer Kennedy Cassidy, is here with more. Jennifer, welcome.
Thank you, Frank. As we look around us, we're seeing something in America that was unthinkable just a few years ago. Socialism has become acceptable and even desirable. And this deadly ideology is especially on the rise among young people. A recent survey showed that Americans under 30 preferred socialism to capitalism. A socialist candidate for president even won delegates and drew throngs of enthusiastic young supporters this year. This should send chills down the spine of every American who remembers the Cold War. Some of this has been brought on by the current administration, which has shoved socialist programs like Obamacare down the throats of the American public. But this dangerous course can and must be reversed. The destruction that socialism brings can be avoided in America, but we must wake up and stand up now. That's why we are committed to getting the truth out about the dangers of socialism and the threat it poses for you, your children, and your grandchildren. But we can't do it alone. Please help us get the word out through our weekly nationwide television and radio programs. Your financial support is the fuel that keeps this ministry going. When you donate to help us with this and the other ongoing works of this ministry, we'll send you a DVD copy of The Problem of Socialism. Simply write to us at Box 6085, Albert Lea, Minnesota 56007, or call toll free 888-334-9762, or go online to djameskennedy.org. Too many think that socialism is just caring about society, and 43% of young people have a favorable view of it. They don't realize that it's a comprehensive economic system that leads to misery and tyranny. We have to get the word out. That's why we'll also send you the easy-to-read book, 10 Truths About Socialism, as thanks for your donation. You'll want to share this with your children, grandchildren, and anyone else in danger of falling for the siren song of socialism. If they knew the truth, many people would reject socialism. But the truth hasn't been getting out there. This book presents 10 truths about socialism in a powerful, easily understood format. It's yours as our thanks for your generous donation of any amount. Simply write to us at Box 6085, Albert Lea, Minnesota 56007, or call toll-free 888-334-9762, or go online to djameskennedy.org.
I don't think it is too much to say that we have reached a national moment, one in which socialism is now considered acceptable, especially by a growing contingent of young people. Yet, as we lament this sad fact, it might be wise to stop and reflect on how many of those who claim to reject socialism by name may have been, at least partly, complicit in its growing acceptance. At root, socialism is government redistribution of wealth. Rather than leaving things to free markets and independent choices, socialism institutes centralized decision-making and government control. The Bible is clear that both stealing and covetousness are sins, and both are at the root of socialism. One wants something rightfully earned by another and takes it from him. The fact that government is the intermediary doesn't make the taking any more acceptable. It is merely legalized theft. But what about us? When it comes to health care, retirement, government grants, or the like, are there areas where we as Christians have blithely, willingly accepted things earned by others and redistributed to us by government? If our nation is to be healed, repentance must begin with the household of God, the Church of Jesus Christ. We cannot have two masters. If we bow the knee before government as our provider, we are turning our backs on God as we do so. As we rightly call for opposition to socialism because it sets itself up as God, let us also make sure that we're not caught with our hands in someone else's pocket and that we are not bowing the knee before the altar of a false god. I'm Frank Wright. Thanks for joining us this week on Truths That Transform. We'll see you next time.
Next week on Truths That Transform.
Let us answer the question, does the Bible teach socialism?
People's capacity for self-support has declined dramatically because these government programs destroy the heart of self-sufficiency.
That's next week. Today's program is available on DVD for your gift to this ministry of any amount. Please call, write, or log on to our website today. This has been a production of D. James Kennedy Ministries.